Welcome to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. In this message from Acts chapter 2, Pastor Gary explains why outreach matters and how believers can share their faith. As the early church grew, they faithfully told others about Christ, and God added to their numbers daily. Each believer is called to be a witness and invest in reaching others. Here is Pastor Gary Walton.
If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2. I think this text has been telling us four things. We've been calling them four priorities of the church. We've talked about three already, and we're going to finish number four this morning. Here they are one more time. I hope that they're settling in. I think they're really important for us to know. So number one, we're to be committed to outreach, and that's the one we're going to come back to this morning. We're to be committed to discipleship, we're to be committed to fellowship, and then committed to worship. These, I think, are the foundations for a healthy, thriving church. So what I want to do this morning is from this text, and we're going to look at a couple other verses as well. I'm going to try to wrap our minds around and wrap our hearts around this idea of what it means to be committed to outreach or committed to evangelism. So this awesome text that we've been looking at for a month now is bracketed by two key sentences. Verse 41 begins it, and it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." I mean, can you imagine that? 3,000 people on the very same day that responded to the gospel and responded to the truth, and they gave their hearts, you know, completely. Following that, we have, you know, 42, and following it talks about, you know, this discipleship that happens and the fellowship and the worship. And this all ties in here. And then it's ended by verse 47. It tells us right at the end that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I mean, here was this church where God's people were growing in discipleship, and they were in this constant fellowship that was very genuine and very sweet, and the worship was characterized by the very presence of God himself, and the testimony of these believers was so fantastic. They were praising God, and verse 47 says they had favor with all the people. Every single day, people were responding to the gospel and responding with a desire to have a relationship with Christ. It really must have been such an exciting time, an exciting fellowship. So I want to ask two questions about this. Here they are. Number one, why is outreach so important? And then number two, How should we go about this here on Guam? All right, why is outreach so important? I want to give you four reasons. Number one, it's important because Jesus instructed every Christian to be a witness. The last great words of Jesus to his disciples, we call it, both in the Great Commission and then what we find in the first chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The most important thing he could tell them, right? His very last words before he ascends up into heaven, and they are this. He says, "You are to be my witnesses." The message was that we've been introduced to the Savior, and he has changed my life, and I want to be able to tell you about the impact that he's had on my life. That's what the disciples were called to do. That's what every disciple of every age, from those first generation Christians up until now, that's what we're all called to do. We are called to be his witnesses. If you're here this morning, and if you have tasted of the bread of life, Jesus talked about in the New Testament, he said, "I am the bread of life, and he that receives me will never hunger again." If you're a Christian here this morning, and if you have tasted of the bread of life, If you have found God, and if you have found Him to be good, and if you found Him to be everything that you needed and everything that your heart desired, how selfish would we have to be to not want to share? You say, well, what if they don't want to eat any of the bread? Well, how are you going to know if you don't volunteer to share it with them? This is what we're called to do. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's the number one reason why it's important. Number two reason why this is important is that people matter to God. In Luke chapter 15, tells a story that one day when Jesus was teaching, he found himself confronted by a bunch of religious types of people, and they were sort of looking down their noses at Jesus and the crowd of people that was always hanging around him, and they wondered why Jesus was hanging out with, you know, those kind of people. And in this chapter, Jesus responds with this really clear teaching, and he tells three stories. They'll be familiar to you. He tells the story of the lost coin, Luke chapter 15. He tells the story of the lost sheep, and then he tells the story of the lost boy. We call it the story of the prodigal son. All three stories have the same theme. A woman had 10 coins, and she lost one, and she tore her house apart trying to find the one that she'd lost. A shepherd had 100 sheep, and he lost one, and he left the 99 that he still had, and he left them all to go searching up and down the hills and the valleys to find the one sheep that had been lost. And of course, the father of the prodigal son, one of his sons wandered off, and he waited patiently with great grace, waited for the one son who had been lost to be found and to come back again. In each story, the hero left and stopped everything to go and search for the one who was lost. And here's the point. The point is that these people that Jesus was surrounding himself with, that all the religious people looked at him and said, why are you hanging out with that kind of people? The point that Jesus made with these three stories was that every single individual mattered to him. These people have value. The ones that the Pharisees devalued, Jesus held with great value. Why is that? It's because people matter to God. Individual people matter to God. Individual people that you meet every day, whether you value them or not, God values them. They are valuable to Him. Every size, every shape, every age, every color, every social class, every single person on this island is important to Jesus Christ. God really cares. And He wants each one to hear the good news. And because of that, He left a story for all of us to read. But we have to tell them what the story is and where to find it. This is our job. There's no other plan. Answer number three to this question, why is outreach so important? Number one, Jesus instructed every Christian to be a witness. Nobody gets out of this. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the deacons. Every single one of us in this room that's a Christian, Jesus instructed every Christian to be a witness. Number two, people matter to God. Number three, this is something that I heard a long time ago when I was a kid. I don't know that I've heard it since. I'm sure that it's been around. I was thinking about this week. I don't know that I've heard this since. I haven't said it since then, but it came back to me as clear as I remember it when I was a kid. Here it is. Number three, life is short, death is sure, eternity is long, and there's no escape for procrastinators. Every day that I live, every month that I live, I realize that life is short. It happens so fast. And death is sure. Unless Jesus comes back, there's none of us that are making it out alive. Death is coming to everyone, and eternity is really long. Every person you know, every person that you've talked with this week, every person that God's going to bring across your path in this coming week, every single one of them will spend eternity either with God or separated from God. And eternity is a long time. And the Bible's very clear that there's no escape for procrastinators. It's not something that you can put off. Turn with me real quick to Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 2 says this, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." All right, if what the angels said was true, and that every action receives a reward, a just reward. Verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" If what the angels said is true, if their word is true, if every action has a consequence, how are we going to escape if we neglect, if we say no to this great, this awesome offer of salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hey, listen, there is no escape for procrastination. There will become a time when every single person will stand before God and will give an account for our lives. And on that day, there will be no looking back and said, "Man, I thought I had time." Listen, Christian, there will be no opportunity for you to look back on maybe some of your friends and some of your coworkers and maybe some of your family who have not yet heard the gospel, at least from you, if they've not accepted the good news of salvation in the bread of Jesus Christ. There will be no chance for you to look back and say, "You know what? I thought I had more time to talk to them." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Listen, every single person alive on this earth has sinned according to the Bible, and the consequences for our sin are real. The wages of sin is death. And I'm so thankful that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christian, I'm primarily talking with you this morning, but have you told that story to your loved ones? Have you shared that witness with your coworkers? A few years ago, Mercedes-Benz ran a TV commercial that showed their car colliding with a cement wall during a safety test. You might remember this commercial, but in an interview format, there was somebody interviewing the spokesman for the company, for Mercedes-Benz, and they were asking this question. They asked why the company did not enforce their patent. They had a patent, Mercedes-Benz did, on the energy-absorbing car body. It was a design that evidently had been copied by other companies because of its success. So they're asking, well, why didn't they enforce the patent for the energy-absorbing car body? And he replies, matter of factly, I remember seeing the starkness of this very simple commercial. His response was this, "Because some things in life are too important not to share." That's true, right? And what kind of a car company wouldn't share expertise that would save lives? Some things in life are too important not to share. Christian, I want to tell you, the bread of life that you have so freely been given by Jesus Christ, it is too important not to share. Life is short, death is sure, eternity is long. There's no escape for procrastinators. Number 4 answer is this: God wants His church to be growing. This is why outreach is so important. This is the example of the church. It's what we see in our text. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Verse 41 talked about 3,000 people that came to Christ on the day of Pentecost. I want you to track with me. Go over to chapter 4 and verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. All right, so 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Chapter 4, we have 5,000. That's just the men. Go over to chapter 5 and verse 14. "And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." Go down to verse 42 of the same chapter. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Chapter 6, verse 1, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied." All right, they stopped counting now. Verse 7, chapter 6, "And the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Go to chapter 9, verse 31. This is the last one. 9:31. "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Now the churches are being multiplied. Listen, this is God's plan for the church, for His church. These believers were so unified and so joyful and so spirit-filled that its very existence was a powerful testimony to the truth of the gospel. In the New Testament, we have many times we are taught, Jesus teaches this analogy of a tree that bears fruit or a vine that bears fruit. He says it over and over again. I think maybe there's more than 50 references to this analogy of a tree or a vine that must bear fruit. He says multiple times, if the tree does not bear fruit, it ought to be cut down. John chapter 15 says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Chapter 15 and verse 8 says, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." There are many references to bearing fruit in the Bible. Fruit can include a number of things, for sure. It's not just only about evangelism. The Bible talks about fruits of repentance. It talks about practicing truth. It talks about answered prayer. It talks about Christ-like character. All right, so there's other things that encompass this idea of every believer should be bearing fruit. But listen, one of the things that's very clear in the Scriptures is that part of the fruit benefit of every Christian ought to be the establishment and the growth of other believers. Believers should produce other believers. Romans 1:13 says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles." Paul says, "I know my life is supposed to bear fruit. I want to see fruit among the Romans as well." Listen, God wants His church to be growing. Things that are alive and healthy grow. Healthy trees grow. Healthy puppies grow. Healthy children grow. Healthy, alive things grow. Churches that are healthy and alive, they should grow. Here's the key. Chapter 2, 47 says, "The Lord adds to the church." I mean, this was God's work. And it came in a context. God added the growth when the church did its part. And His people were fulfilling the command to share their faith. Chapter 1 and verse 8, they were consistently preaching the word. That was chapter 2, Peter's message and others that are preaching the word and preaching the truth. Their worship was genuine. Their fellowship was sweet. They're following Jesus' model of discipleship, right? Outreach, discipleship, fellowship, worship. All of these things were in place. And when the church did their part, then the Lord added. He's the one who gave fruit. These are the reasons why outreach is important. Question number two is this. How should we go about this here on Guam? All right, listen, we're called to do this. You're called to do it individually. Our church is called to do this. God wants our church to grow. He wants us to reach people. Well, how should we do it? Answer number one is this. We should personally share our faith everywhere we go, and particularly with those God has placed in our paths. I know it's long, but it's important. We should personally share our faith everywhere we go, and particularly with those God has placed in our path. This is what outreach means. This is what evangelism means. This is Jesus' instructions. As you go along your way, be witnesses of me. When you go, make disciples of Jesus Christ. This is your calling. It's your primary calling. It's your primary purpose for you as a believer, for us as a church. Be witnesses of me. To your family, to our co-workers, to our neighbors, people that you see at the corner market, to our business acquaintances. I mean, everybody, we're supposed to go. We're to be witnesses. If you just stop for 5 minutes today sometime and think about the people in your life, the people in your life that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Can you put together a list right now off the top of your head? 5 people, 10 people, 25 people? People that you know, people that God's put in your path. Listen to me. The people in your path are not random coincidences, believer. God has put them there for a reason. This is the picture of the New Testament. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I'm not talking about some complicated speech. Really, just tell what you've experienced. Just be a witness. That's what you're called to do. Listen, people matter to God. And Jesus wants us to be His witnesses. And life is short, and death is sure, and eternity is long, and there's no escape for procrastination. Just tell what you've experienced. Be a witness. And you don't need to be a pastor to do it. You don't need to have a Bible college education. We just have to go and be witnesses. We just have to tell people what Jesus has done for us. So number one, personally, and I want to help you with it. We want to help you with that, but you can do this today. We should personally share our faith everywhere we go, and particularly with those God has placed in our path. But number two, we should corporately share our faith by investing our lives in this church and inviting friends and strangers to come meet God here. Hang in with me for a couple minutes because this is a heavy burden on my heart, and I want to help you and encourage you with this. We should corporately share our faith by investing our lives in this church and inviting friends and strangers to come meet God here. Okay, investing our lives in this church. When we serve in different ministries, when we give, when we pray, when we invest ourselves in this ministry, we all take part in what God accomplishes corporately with this church. And this is an awesome thing. If you're serving, if you're giving, if you're praying, and you should be doing all of those, you have a part in the corporate group ministry that God is doing here. You have the benefit of the investment that you and I have done in this place. And listen, this has been going on here for 40-some years. It is an awesome story. And as we invest in this place, we have the opportunity to own the dividends of what God's doing here. It's an amazing thing. So, invest your life. Invest your life. God's doing so many great things. God's sending out pastors and missionaries. I'm just telling you, if you're looking for a good investment, there's a pretty good track record of the work of God here in this place. So we should corporately share our faith by investing our lives in this church and inviting friends and strangers to come meet God here. All right, here's the last thing. Here's the one thing that every single Christian here can do. I want to encourage you to invest and invite. I guess that's two things. Two for the price of one, right? Invest in people that you know. Invite people that you know, friends and strangers. I want you to be, I'm going to encourage you to be listening for three knots, all right? Three little knots. In your conversations with people, day by day, week by week, be listening for these three things. Not in church, not going well, not prepared for. It's not original with me, but it's very helpful for me. Not in church, not going well, not prepared for. And I'm going to encourage you to say something specifically when you hear that. So you're in a booth at a restaurant, you and your wife are sitting there, and you hear somebody behind you. Not that I would ever listen to the conversation behind me. Right, Faith? You hear somebody behind you, and they're saying, man, we just had our second child. It is not going well. You get up on your knees, and you lean over and say to them, you should come to our church. And you hear somebody say, man, we've just moved to Guam. I was not prepared for the change that's happening. And you say, well, you should come to our church. Someone's not in church, they should come to church. We can introduce them to the one that can help them. We can help them. I mean, really, that's what we do. You should come to my church. Specific invitation, I want to tell you, I would like you to follow it up with this. Come sit with me. But somebody says, well, you know, come to your church. What's your church about? What kind of a church is it? I mean, why should I come sit with you? I want to encourage you to say something like this. Here's the thing. Life is so complicated. And you want to get it right. And I want to get it right. And our church wants to help.
Thanks for listening to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton. Pacific Hope is a production of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Family Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Harvest Baptist Church, visit hbcguam.org. To learn more about Harvest Family Radio or Pacific Hope, visit khmg.org. Harvest Ministries is located on Guam and exists to help people develop a heart for God. It is our hope that this message has played a part in doing just that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of Pacific Hope.